From Radio Deutsche Welle, Melody Time. We invite you to join us for half an hour of light classical music. Hello, I'm Paul Benderlow. We'll begin today with the overture to an opera called Die Rhein-Nixen, Mermaids of the Rhine, by Jacques Offenbach. The Vienna Court Opera commissioned the work in 1864, and that's where it was premiered, but unfortunately for all concerned, it wasn't much of a success. It also got a lukewarm reception in Paris, and never really got a foothold anywhere else. So you may never even have heard of that mermaid opera. But I'll wager you will recognize one of the melodies in the overture, which originally went by the name of The Song of the Elves.
Thank you.
timeless melody in unfamiliar trappings. And you could stump nearly every Name That Tune panel with that one. It was not, I repeat, not the Barcarolle from Offenbach's Tales of Hoffmann, but rather the Song of the Elves from an earlier opera, Die Rheinnixen. Offenbach, whether or not ecologically conscientious in his time, certainly believed in recycling, even if it was his own melodies. Nothing wrong with that, especially as we can still enjoy such gems today, as heard in that rendition by the Philharmonia Orchestra of London under the direction of Antonio de Almeida. As I mentioned a moment ago, that Rhine Mermaids opera was essentially a flop, but it didn't take Offenbach long to bounce back. That same year, 1864, he wrote Die Schöne Helena, The Beautiful Helen, and that turned out to be an instant success. In fact, many critics feel that this was the work which established Jacques Offenbach as a name to be reckoned with in European opera. 12 years later, his fame also spread to North America. The composer was more or less forced to go on tour in the New World after some ambitious theatre projects had run him into debt. So, despite the fact that he hated travelling, off he set for the USA. And it turned out to be well worth the effort, as he was received with open arms. Our next composer, Antonín Dvořák, was also given a jubilant reception in the New World. That, however, did little to mitigate his feelings of intense homesickness. And his Symphony No. 9, the New World Symphony, was filled both with the vigorous tunes of the young USA and at the same time inspired by his longings for home. In 1895, Dvořák returned to Prague, his home city. 1 year later, he proudly conducted for the first time his newly founded Czech Philharmonic Orchestra. This year, that world-famous institution celebrates its 100th anniversary. Many eminent conductors have stood before the orchestra. In our times, it was the Czech conductor Václav Neumann who was identified with it as none other. Sadly, Neumann died in September of last year. Here's a recording with Václav Neumann conducting his orchestra in an excerpt from Dvořák's Bohemian Suite, Opus 39, our way of saying happy birthday to the Czech Philharmonic.
Thank you.
Czech Philharmonic, conducted by Václav Neumann, with an excerpt from Antonín Dvořák's Bohemian Suite, Opus 39. Continuing the theme of 19th century composers who made the long journey to North America, we come now to Johann Strauss the Younger. Like Offenbach and Dvořák, Strauss hated travelling and suffered terribly from homesickness. But somehow he too got up the courage to go. There were some mutterings at the time to the effect that his failing courage had apparently been strengthened by the princely sum he was paid. Whatever, nothing could detract from his success. He was invited to the Festival of World Peace, held in Boston in 1876, to celebrate the 100th birthday of the United States of America. And there he presented a gala performance of the Blue Danube Waltz. Well, it was obviously an event crying out for the grand gesture, and Strauss, perhaps the first true pop musician of all time, rose to the occasion. Try now to imagine the scale of that performance, with Strauss standing in front of a vast orchestra of around 1,000 musicians, of which 400 were violinists. Well, he had plenty of conducting experience under his belt, and I'm sure he had to summon up all of it for that bash. In our Melody Time studio today, we couldn't manage quite such an impressive lineup, but as far as Strauss' authenticity is concerned, we do have the best ensemble anyone could wish for. The Vienna Johann Strauss Orchestra, conducted by that most Viennese of all Viennese, Willy Boskovsky, and playing what else but An der schönen blauen Donau. Vienna Johann Strauss Orchestra, conducted by Willy Boskowski, playing the Blue Danube Waltz. Just as a final comment on Strauss's American adventure, despite his worst fears, the composer never got seasick. And just while he was away enjoying the best of health, cholera broke out in Vienna. Good fortune can be found in the most unexpected places. A thought which brings us very neatly to our next piece of music. In 1921, the composer Eduard Kunicke, together with his brilliant librettists Heile and Ridiamus, wrote a musical comedy about a cousin who returns home after 7 years abroad in a place called Dinkstar, the German expression for whatchamacallit. Before leaving for which, the cousin, named Roderich, had sworn undying love to his sweetheart Julia. Roderich forgets about his vows, but not Julia. When a personable young man turns up from whatchamacallit, claiming to be the cousin, Julia, true-hearted but a bit forgetful, is only too happy to believe him. He's crazy about Julia and Julia about him. But things get slightly more complicated when the real Roderich turns up. Well, that operetta wouldn't be an operetta without a happy end, so rest assured that everything turns out swimmingly. The false Roderich is accepted despite his deception, and as for the real Roderich, well, he'd fallen in love with somebody else anyway. The story ends with two happy couples, and the delightful song Ganz unverhofft kommt oft das Glück. Happiness often comes when you least expect it. And we hope that's true for you too. Melody Time was compiled by Barbara Anders and produced by Rick Fulker. With Karin Ubel-Acker at the studio console. I'm Paul Benderow, and Melody Time is a production of Radio Deutsche Welle in Cologne, Germany. Der Mensch ist dir über an Frechheit und an Körperknall. Der Ruf ist meine Kinderschaft. Hey Hans, hey Karl, kommt doch mal her. Was gibt's? Was gibt's? Was gibt es, kleiner Herr? Da seht, da seht, da seht. Dort ist er, dort steht er, der Verräter. Er hat so einen Anzug, den ganz neuen, den Anzug vom Bruder, den hat dieses Ruder, den hat dieses Ruder noch an. Du Schwinker, du Frecher, du Dicko, Verbrecher, den Anzug vom Bruder, den trägt dieses Ruder. Herr Jesus, ich war doch nichts Böses. Das tut nichts zur Sache, jetzt sagt ihr die Rache. Mit der Stunde auf linke Schulter klar. Im Namen des Gesetzes ist das der August da. Im Namen des Gesetzes, ja, lieber Onkel, ja. Warum kommst du erst heute an? Ich habe mich verlaufen im wilden Tann. Ich habe mich leider im Wege geirrt. Doch mein Herz hat zu euch mich geführt. Ach, Lusse, Lusse, betrachte ihn. Ihr Anzug, die Hose, alles grün. Ach, lieber Onkel, betrachte ihn. Ihr Anzug, die Hose, alles grün. Woher hast du den Anzug? Den kaufte ich gestern hier. Hier ist die Rechnung, Onkel. Bitte bezahl sie mir. Ich hab kein Geld, ihr wisst's, ihr wisst's. Er tut mich an, er ist's. Er tut dich an, er ist's, er ist's, er ist's, er ist's. Der Augustin. Er kommt direkt jetzt aus Berlin. Ich schließ in meine Arme dich. Grüßen Sie heute früh auch mich. Ein bisschen eng ist das Kostüm. Jedoch es steht vorzüglich ihm. Es macht dich an, an Julia. Was du dort sollst, das weißt du ja. Doch nicht so scharf, mein lieber Sohn. Hurra, hurra, da kommt sie schon.